I want to go to the table of the Lord to get the elements at home, get the wine, the grape juice, whatever your choice is, and the bread. Catholics are used to midnight mass. So we're going to have one. 1 Corinthians 11, as we take these elements, Paul got a little displeased with that Corinthian church. When ye come together, he says in the 20th verse of 1 Corinthians 11, therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. They had turned the Lord's Supper into a show-offy, drunken feast. And those that didn't have much to bring had their eyes on... Turn the air plumb off over there. Those that didn't have much to bring had their eyes on their lacking. And the rich were showing off their plenty. And everything was in focus but the Lord himself. That's the frame of reference for the instructions that he now gives. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it. Does anybody know how to turn that off? Because Brad obviously doesn't. Lee, get up and turn everything off. I don't want to hear a blower in here. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. It's important you see the context. It's in the midst of instruction to a people that had turned this into a focus on self and not on the Lord. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or are dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home. Now this verse, out of the context, several of them here, let him eat and drink worthily. Whosoever eateth and drinketh unworthily, guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, let a man examine himself. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, has been used to beat Christians to death with fear about partaking of these elements. It's always transitioned into a judgmental, accusatory frame of reference. You better not partake unworthy. That isn't what Paul said. He never used the word unworthy once. What's the word? Unworthily. Whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily. That L-Y is the key. It's an adverb. An adverb modifies the action. not the actor. The entire focus here has nothing to do with worthy state of being, worthy condition of the participant. The entire focus is on the manner of partaking. You can partake worthily or unworthily. Entirely focus on the manner in which you partake. These idiots were getting drunk at the feast. And the poor, being embarrassed, focused on their lack, the rich showing off, focused on what they were displaying. And to those people, he reminds them they can partake unworthily and drink damnation to themselves. And he very clearly defines what partaking unworthily is. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For years, Christians have been intimidated in front of this table, told to examine themselves, and many in fear of partaking unworthily and drinking damnation won't partake at all. Nobody's worthy. What presumptuous hypocrisy for a preacher to stand up and tell you, examine yourself. Take worthy, not unworthily. Nobody's worthy. Not a soul in history, past, present, or future, save Jesus Christ, stands worthy before God. We're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb, and that's what this table is for. To remember we're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. We are unworthy individuals. Which said unworthy individuals can partake worthily or unworthily? You partake worthily when you discern the Lord's body. You partake unworthily when you focus on anything else as these people did. Indeed, to focus on yourself in examination as to whether or not you are self-righteous enough, worthy to partake, is to commit the sin of partaking unworthily. You've shifted the focus. For years I've sat here and taught you, let no one be intimidated in front of the table of the Lord. It's the one place we all stand equal. The miss is as good as a mile. One may be better than another as men judge, but all stand short of the glory of God. All partake unworthy. All partake worthily when they discern His shed blood was adequate. I'm reversing it again tonight. Take the cup. Blood in the Scripture, Leviticus makes clear, the life of the soul resides in the blood. For sin comes death, is God's unchanging statement. For the sins to be removed, someone had to die. Not an animal that leaves you wondering how can that less than us stand in our stead, but one worth enough to God to stand in for the whole world. And this cup is to remind us, do it in remembrance of me, Jesus said before he committed that act of laying his life down. When we discern the Lord's body, we discern as God discerns the worth of the Christ who died for me. And his blood shed drew from an inexhaustible value supply as God viewed his son. And to question the worthiness of this blood is to question the worth of the Son of God to the Father who sent him. And to, in some play at being humble, to question my being worthy to partake when I'm doing it in remembrance of the value of his shed blood is to question that value of his blood. I'm unworthy, you're unworthy. We're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb, and let no one who hears me tonight ever be in fear at this table. Ever examine yourself as to whether you're worthy. You're already unworthy. The Word of God's done that declaration, and God's done the examining. But we're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. And to discern the value of what this cup represents is to know the payment for our sins was more than adequate. grace, unmerited favor, covers us. And we can lift the cup and say, thank you, Lord, for your grace as we partake together in Jesus' name. Why were the two elements at the table? The bread as well as the wine. Because two things happened. And everywhere you encounter this atoning representation, covenant memorial supper, types of the Old Testament, God lets us see that something that happened to mankind in the separation from God, the deterioration that comes from being apart from God's life, the falling away of our health, also got God's attention. And here once again, Paul says there is a price attached to partaking unworthily. Remember, a manner of partaking, not a condition of being. To partake and not discern the Lord's body is to eat and drink damnation to yourself. For this cause, verse 30 says, many are weak and sickly among you, many die of those sicknesses. God is making it clear, this may be the only passage in the scripture where God clearly says he allows the sickness on his own people as a judgment, a damnation, and there's a reason for it. Now, if you look at these verses closely, why don't you know something? He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation. Verse 29. The word is krema. 31st verse, for if we would judge ourselves, the word again is a derivative of krema. We should not be judged. But when we are judged, all these words are krema, we are chastened. Chastened again is the English attempt to be varied in words, same word in the Greek, krema. You should read it. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily drinketh krema to himself, the Greek word. If we would crema ourselves, we would not be cremed. When we're cremed, we're cremed of the Lord, and we should not be condemned with the world. Now the Greek changes to katakrema or katakrema. If you want something temporary in the Greek to be made ultimate and permanent, you add kata in front of it. What this verse is saying is that there is a krema which is temporary, which comes from God, that is defined as weakness and sickness and even bringing death. But God allows this as a temporary judgment in order that we might not have the ultimate judgment which the world gets, like getting the Missouri mule's attention with a two-by-four. All this is saying, when you understand the Greek, is that if you come to this table, don't worry about being worthy. God makes you worthy by the blood of the Lamb. But there is another element of partaking worthily. That is to discern the Lord's body. What was entailed in his death on the cross and the shedding of his blood? To discern all that is to remove the necessity of the temporary punishment. And if we don't discern what Christ did at Calvary, the temporary punishment is necessary to keep our attention in order that God might deal with us and we not get the katakrema or katakrema, ultimate damnation which the world gets. So in essence, to simplify it, discerning the Lord's body goes beyond the shed blood. Isaiah 53 says, with his stripes ye are healed. Peter, looking back in the epistle to the event already happened, said, with his stripes ye were healed. There is healing. You know, discern the Lord's body and incorporate it as an act of faith, you're still partaking unworthily. But to discern that not only was his shed blood a provision for sin, but he was bruised not only for sins, but our sicknesses and infirmities were laid on him, and with his stripes ye were healed, is to partake worthily because you discern the Lord's body, that there is healing there, as well as covering and atonement for sins. And that healing removes the cause that is on people and the temporary punishment that comes from not availing yourself of God's grace. There is healing. Grace is power to heal when you discern the Lord's body included not only the shed blood, but with his stripes ye were healed. See that tonight. Apply the same principle. You don't have to be worthy for the healing. You partake worthily, discerning that the healing is there. Unmerited favor provided by God through his Son, the same way the blood was shed. And you simply lift the bread and say, with his stripes I was healed, as you take it tonight in Jesus' name. Now call me, you that have partaken, as the music plays.